Hello, my name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are joined by a special guest today. Edwin Crozier from the Tampa, Florida area is joining us. We are very much looking forward to having Edwin, Lord willing, this coming Sunday through Wednesday, October 24th through the 27th, in a special series. And thanks to some hardworking audio and video servants here at Charlestown Row, we're able to connect with Edwin ahead of time and give you just a little bit of a preview. Edwin, can you hear and see us okay all the way down there in Florida?
I can. Can you hear and see me?
We can. We can. We really appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time today. Why don't you tell us, Edwin, a little bit about you? You were here a few years ago, but church families change, and there may be some people who will be meeting you for the very first time. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Edwin Crozier. I have been a gospel preacher for 26 years now. I've been a Christian for about 36 years. I have worked with churches in Tennessee, Florida, Texas, Indiana. I have been able to preach with congregations in efforts like this and lots of different places, and been able to talk about lots of different things based on the Word of God. I'm excited to come and talk about discipleship with you all. I am married. I've been married for 26 years, I guess, is where I am right now. And if Marita sees this, I got that wrong, I'm going to get in trouble. we'll get through that one if we have to. And I've got four children, two daughters, two sons, ranging from 24 years old to 13 years old.
Very good. Very good. So we're going to obviously be talking about discipleship. But Edwin, why don't you start just by sharing, how did you come to be a disciple of Jesus?
I was raised in a religious, spiritual family. We were part of a denomination, the Southern Baptist denomination. So I was raised up with the Bible. I was raised up going to church. I was raised up being taught to put Jesus first, that no matter what. In fact, one of my earliest memories was seeing something in my mom's Bible that I then turned around and wrote in my own, where it said two words that you can't say together: no, Lord. If you're going to say no, he's not your Lord. And if you're going to say Lord, you can't say no. So I was raised up being taught that. And in my teen years, when my mom died, my dad, he started dating my stepmom, the woman who would become his wife, and my stepmom, and a great relationship there. And he was restored to faithful Christianity at that time. But I was actually pretty bitter about the whole thing, and was not really about to make that change. Of course, they were going to make me go to church with them instead of where I wanted to go at that time. And I had actually been taught in my youth groups that even though I was in the Baptist denomination, that actually equaled just being a Christian, that name that was given by men was a name that had been applied and actually didn't mean that we were any particular kind of Christian, but that it was accepted because of the way that particular denomination did baptize differently from so many others. Well, you know, I bought that, and that was my goal. And when people would talk to me about being just a Christian and just a disciple, I felt like I was being misunderstood, and that I was hearing things that nobody knew what they were talking about, until my dad and my stepmom actually got married. And for some reason, they didn't want me coming with them on their honeymoon. So they shipped me off. You know, they shipped me off to some family friends, and I spent about 3 weeks with some family friends who were also members of the Baptist denomination. And while I was out there with them in Idaho, I actually happened to overhear a conversation between this family friend and his nephew, who is a Baptist pastor. And something was going on in the convention of the Southern Baptist denomination at that time that neither one of them liked. And there was a kind of a paradigm shifting moment that I just happened to overhear a conversation where one of these fellas said, you know, if they keep doing that sort of thing, I'm going to quit being a Baptist and just be a Christian. And, you know, even as a teenager, that was absolutely unsettling. Here I had been telling everybody, quit telling me I need to be just a Christian, that's all I am. And when the guard was down, what I found out is, oh, that's not what I am. I actually can be just a Christian, and where I am right now is not that. And that was really the turning point for me to surrender to Jesus Christ, to be baptized by immersion for the remission of sins, not as an outward sign of inward grace, not as a testimony to the world, not as becoming a member of a denomination, but actually to have my sins forgiven, immersed in water, buried with Jesus. And so that did happen as a teenager. And, you know, my discipleship path was not linear. Certainly ups and downs, and there's all kinds of phases that we could probably talk about going through that. But that was the beginning of saying, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to be just a disciple. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I only want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I've done that imperfectly now for about 36 years, but I do believe the trajectory has been closer and closer to Jesus Christ over the long term, if that makes sense.
That's a great story. And, you know, when you talk about that transition from when you were a teenager, how hard was that? Because sometimes for teenagers, that's a rough period of their life. And how was that received by your family?
Well, of course, by my dad and my stepmom, they were absolutely pleased about the whole thing. Extended family was not at all happy about it. And, you know, there's been hardship there, and partially my fault, partially just the way life is. There's been a lot of equilibrium that's now come out in all of those relationships. But, and you know, look, let's just face it, whenever you have a family member who has died, especially someone that you love as much as your mother and her siblings, her parents, there's a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of psychological and emotional aspects to that, and hard feelings are generated. You know, we've made it through that. There's not a lot of my family members on that side have agreed with me, but I will say that at this point we respect each other, and we realize that we're all striving to do what God says, even if we don't always agree on what that means. And we'll talk about it sometimes, but again, I guess the best I can say on that is there's been a little bit of equilibrium in those relationships that we finally reached. But my goal is to be a disciple and to love the Lord Jesus Christ and do what he says, no matter what anybody else says.
So you've used that word disciple a few times, and especially in view of this upcoming series that is titled, I'm a Disciple, sure does seem like maybe a good next step in this whole thing is to make sure we understand what we're talking about and everybody else does. What do you mean when you say I'm a disciple?
So, first of all, let me tell you what I don't mean. Okay. I don't mean that of all the terms that are out there biblically, that the one we're supposed to use is disciple. I feel like over the last 15 years or so on social media and in public debates and discussions that I've seen from people, that they've tried to act like, well, there's a word in scripture that is the particular one we're supposed to use. And I guess I've even heard pushback on use of the term Christian. I love the term Christian. And even though it's only used, I think, three times in the New Testament, I think it is a perfectly good description of who I am. Christian comes from the idea of being a little Christ. And I think that's exactly what a disciple is supposed to be. So I just want to start with the outset of saying that the series has not been titled I'm a Disciple because I'm trying to distinguish between various descriptives in the New Testament and say, this is really the one that we're supposed to use. So I use Christian and disciple pretty interchangeably. And the reason why the series has been titled I'm a Disciple is because the lessons that I'm going to get to present for you all actually come from some work we did here with the Christians that meet on Livingston Avenue about what our goal as a church is, what our purpose as a congregation is. And we've basically taken Jesus' great commission in Matthew 28 when he said, go into all the world and make disciples. And in our minds, and working with my elders here, we recognize that as a congregation, our job is to make disciples. And because of that, with the teaching we've done on that and with the graphics that we've done with that, we have used that term disciple more than just the term Christian or saint or some of the other terms that are used. But all of those terms can be used interchangeably. Those terms very much like we see with other words. You know, for elders, we see multiple words that are used to describe that office: pastor, shepherd, bishop, overseer. And each of those terms, while describing the same thing, do emphasize maybe a different aspect. And I think that's one of the benefits of the term disciple, is the nuance, the aspect that it emphasizes is the idea of learner, of apprentice. Unfortunately, for me, most of the time when I thought about discipleship, I thought student. And for us in our modern American education system, student means somebody who walks into a classroom, hears a lecture, or works through some worksheets, takes some notes, reads a book, and then on Friday takes a test and tries to regurgitate all the information. And most of the time by Monday has forgotten it. So a disciple, while we could say is a student, it's not that kind of a student. A disciple is much more like an apprentice, or for folks who are into the world that I'm in, we might even say a Padawan learner, someone who follows along with the master, who goes where the master is, who watches what the master does, and then strives to imitate and say the same things and act in the same ways and go to the same places. And so in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, Jesus highlights that a disciple, when fully trained, will become just like his master or just like his teacher. And that's what we want. Now, the interesting thing is, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, in the context, what Jesus was actually saying in that context is, you will never escape your teacher. If your teacher is blind, the best you can hope for is being blind. And when the blind follow the blind, both fall into the ditch. But the principle of being trained to be like your teacher is actually a good principle that says that, but what if my teacher is not blind? What if my teacher is a good teacher? In fact, what if my teacher is the good teacher? Then I will get to grow to be more like him. And so that's the heart of being a disciple, becoming like the teacher. And here we're talking about Jesus as our teacher.
And so what you're really driving at is this inward change. And, for a lot of people out there, when they look at Christianity, they think, well, all I'm going to do is add church to my busy schedule. I'll just go to church on Sunday. Nothing ever changes. And that's all I'm going to do. But really what you're presenting and what the Bible's presenting is an inward change. And
Oh, sorry about that. I was just going to say, what you just said reminded me of something I experienced years ago. I was in a men's group, and this was in Franklin, Tennessee, and one of our shepherds, Don Adair, great, great brother, he was leading a discussion, and he asked a question that honestly took me by surprise. In fact, so by surprise that it obviously showed on my face because he said something about it. He asked the question, when is it wrong to attend all the assemblies and classes of the local church? And I obviously kind of did something with my face because he commented on, oh, look, I just freaked Edwin out. And I was just like, okay, I don't know where this is going, but I guess I'll trust you. And so he said, no, seriously, guys, when is it wrong to attend all of the assemblies and classes of the local church? And so, you know, some guys kind of said some things, but what Don finally said is, I'll tell you when it's wrong. It's wrong to attend the assemblies and classes of the local church when that's all you're doing. And of course, he wasn't saying that if that's all you're doing, you shouldn't show up at all. But he was really trying to drive home that point, that discipleship, being a Christian, giving allegiance to Jesus Christ, is not just about what you do on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or on Wednesday. It is about what you do every day of the week. It's about what you do on the job. It's about what you do at school. It's about what you do with your family. It's about what you do when you're on vacation. It's discipleship is about everything in our lives, not just go to church.
And so the unique thing about this apprenticeship concept is, if you're following the sculptor, you learn to work with marble as he does. But when you're not doing that, you're back to your own self. But when we follow Jesus, it's everything, everywhere, all about us. And that's the key.
When the apostles...
go ahead.
When the apostles dropped everything to follow Jesus... it was, my whole life now is about him. I'm going where he goes. Where he sleeps tonight is where I'm going to sleep. Where he eats breakfast is where I'm going to eat breakfast. When he decides to work with someone, I'm going to be there. That's what that was. Now, we're not in that same Jesus is materially and physically here, and so traveling around Israel with him. But that's the concept we need to have in mind. I'm going where Jesus goes, and I don't go where Jesus doesn't go.
So let me ask you, I mean, we have assumed it over the course of the last few minutes. How in the world can I be a disciple of somebody who lived 2,000 years ago? And why, with all of the people who are available in flesh and blood, that I can perhaps send an email to and maybe even get some sort of a response, or at least talk to somebody's personal assistant or something like that in the flesh, why of all the teachers, the masters, why Jesus?
Wow, that's two really powerful questions. The first one, I'm trying to figure out which order I want to take those in. So let's just talk about the how. And I do believe that in John chapter 5, I love this statement in verse 39, Jesus is talking to the Jews, and he says to them, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." Certainly, Jesus there is talking specifically to the Jews about the canon of the Old Testament that they had. His point was that, look, this law that you have been given, the law, the prophets, and the writings, you guys have been searching those to figure out some rules and some guideposts and some moralities for your life. But the main point was you were supposed to be finding me there. Now, let's add to that the New Testament canon, the scripture that Jesus himself said that he was providing through the Holy Spirit and through his apostles and prophets of the New Testament, which Paul will tell us that all of scripture. And while, of course, that included the Old Testament, when he says all of Scripture, he's not talking about just what had already been revealed, but all that would be revealed. He says that all of that will teach us, reprove us, correct us, and train us in righteousness so that God's man, God's person, can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, being a disciple of Jesus Christ today does not look like here is the person of Jesus and I'm just following him and walking with him and walking paths with him and going to cities with him and entering synagogues with him. But it does mean doing what he told those Jewish leaders and the Jewish folks who were following him at that time. You get in the scripture to meet Jesus. He tells us in John 10 that he is the good shepherd and his sheep know his voice. And the only way for me to know his voice so that I can follow him and go where he goes is to spend time where his voice is spoken. And that is in his word. And the only accurate record of his word that we have is the Bible. So if I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I am going to be anchored in the word that he has revealed. And I'm going to go where that word sends me, and I'm going to say what that word teaches me, and I'm going to refrain from everything else. So there's the how. And before I answer that other question, I guess if there's anything you want to follow up with there, I should let you do that.
No, I think that's exactly, it gives our listening, watching audience a good opportunity to realize, okay, what is Edwin going to be doing when he comes up here? He's going to be talking to us from the Bible. If you come and you're a guest with us, we want it to come through loud and clear. We're going to be using the Bible. This is not Edwin's idea as to what it means to be a disciple, or my idea, Roger's idea, or anybody else's. We're going to open our Bibles and we're going to use that as a means, like you've said, of getting to know this Jesus.
Of meeting Jesus and becoming like him, absolutely. So your other question was, well, why Jesus? Why not someone else? Why not someone who's living, or perhaps why not some other great guru throughout the history of the world? And my reason for that is very simply this. Jesus himself is a very unique individual. Throughout the history of mankind, there have been people who have claimed to be divine, who have claimed to be God. Jesus is not the only person who did that. So there's plenty of others who have claimed that. Even in the New Testament, there are people who have claimed to be someone special. We find that in the book of Acts where that's stated. Gamaliel brings that up. So Jesus is not alone in being a person who has claimed to be special and even claimed to be divine. Throughout history, there's a second group of people. There's a group of people throughout history that have significantly impacted the world, who still have followers, who have changed the course of human history and philosophy and theology. Those are people that we might say like Muhammad or Gandhi or Confucius, even here in America, Joseph Smith. So there are these two groups of people. There are people throughout history who have claimed to be God, and there are also people throughout history who have highly impacted the world and its history. But Jesus is the only person who is actually in both of those groups. Muhammad didn't claim to be God. Confucius, Gandhi, Joseph Smith, none of those people claim to be God. In fact, I can give you lists of people that have significantly impacted human history. It's much harder for me to give you the list of people who claim to be God, because what has happened is all of those people, except one, died and everybody gave up on them. That's the thing that happens. When you claim to be someone special, to be God's chosen man, and to be more than that, to actually be divine, once you've died, people forget you and they write you off. They're, well, okay, you weren't what you said you were. In fact, there's this great little story called The Man Who Would Be King by Rudyard Kipling. It was turned into a movie with Michael Caine and Sean Connery. And here's a couple of guys that find a group of people separated from the world, and he convinces them that he's a god, until the woman that he wants to marry slaps him and he starts bleeding. And they say, gods don't bleed. And so they kill him. And he gets forgotten. That's what happens. Well, here's the fascinating thing. Jesus claimed to be God, and then he died, and people still believed he was God, and he went on, even after he died, to be not just a person that significantly changed human history, but I want to argue the person who most significantly changed history. In fact, for most of the modern world, even the way we consider time is wrapped around the life of Jesus. And the atheists and the agnostics can change BC to BCE, and they can change AD to CE. But the fact is, whatever you call those letters and however you describe it, it's still anchored around the life of Jesus Christ. Here is the one person that is in all three of those groups, significantly changed the history of mankind and is still impacting the world today, claimed to be God and died. He's the only one in all of history that fits in that. And you've got to ask, how on earth could a person die and yet still be in those other two groups both at the same time? And that's Jesus. So the reason why I want to suggest Jesus is the person that we should be a disciple of is because nobody else measures up to who he is and what he has accomplished and done.
This is going to be a great series, and we're really looking forward to it because it's just where we need to be. But for a soccer mom listening out there, or a busy businessman, and they're hearing this podcast, and we're talking about being like Jesus in this progressive time we live in, when culture is just changing every day, is it possible? How would you answer that?
Are you asking, is it possible to be like Jesus?
Yes.
That is a fantastic question. I certainly believe that if what we want to talk about is being like Jesus, perfection in love, perfection in sacrifice, I'm going to tell you that it is not possible for me to do that by my own strength. I cannot accomplish that. But that's why I need Jesus, because it is through Jesus, through his strength, by the love and grace of God and their Holy Spirit, and by the word of God, and by being a part of his family and the support of brothers and sisters, that I grow toward that. And it may even be that I don't accomplish that or get to that until eternity, but it's, that's what I'm shooting for eternally. But as far as what we're talking about in this series, growing as a disciple, I won't be presenting this lesson as a part of the series, but I do have a lesson that I often present that's entitled, God's job is perfection, my job is progress. So we're going to be talking about making progress. We're not going to be talking about by the end of a four-day series being perfect, or, hey, take this four-day series and over the next 6 months, you'll become perfect. We're talking about making progress. And we're going to talk about making progress in being like Jesus. And basically, we're going to talk about making progress and being like Jesus in four major areas of honoring God, learning from God, loving like God, and leading others to God. And we're going to do that all while bounded in God's word. And so I believe that every single one of us can make progress at honoring God. And when we make progress at honoring God, we become more like Jesus. And I believe that every one of us can make progress in our learning from God. And as we grow and learn from God, we become more like Jesus. And I believe that every one of us can make progress in loving like God. And as we progress in loving like God, we become more like Jesus. And of course, I believe every one of us can make progress on leading others to God. And when we do that, we become more like Jesus.
We are really looking forward to this series, Edwin, and we appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us, giving us a preview, thinking through the why, even a little bit of the how. It is all this Sunday. It kicks off Sunday morning, October 24th, 9:30 a.m. That is your first lesson where you're just going to introduce this phrase, I'm a disciple. 9:30 this Sunday morning. We will have a session at 10:45 where you will walk through A Disciple Honors God. Sunday, October 24th at 5 o'clock p.m., A Disciple Learns from God. And then Monday through Wednesday of this next week, every evening at 7 o'clock p.m., October 25th, 26th, and 27th, A Disciple Loves Like God, A Disciple Leads Others to God. And the last lesson in this series, October 27th, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., all while, like you mentioned, abiding in God's word. This is going to be a good, an encouraging, a very practical series, and we really appreciate you being willing to come up here with us. You'll be able to enjoy a little taste of fall, much more than you are right now in Central Florida. We're looking forward to a beautiful weekend, and especially looking forward to you having this time with us.
And for our listeners who are away from our community, these will be podcasts, or these will be live streamed. They'll be on our internet. All those things will be on our Facebook page. So the lessons will be there, and you can continually go back to them, and we encourage you to do that as well.
Thanks for joining us today, Edwin.
I'm so excited to be with you guys. I'm so excited to be with you right now, and I'm excited to be with you guys this weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
Very good. Well, Edwin, Roger, thanks so much for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening or watching this episode of the Heaven Bound podcast. We are clearly looking forward to this Sunday. Around here, we call it the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.